Mr. Mickler, you were telling me before the tape stopped that in these days and times you felt the young people's manners are not as good. Is that right?
Right.
That the behavior, you don't feel that they respect the family as much.
Not at all.
Mrs. Mickler, we were talking about, you were going to describe the house in which you lived to me yesterday when we were running out of tape. Would you, you're beginning to tell me something about it. It's a two-bedroom house?
You want
a two-room house?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a nice two-room house, two big rooms. And we slept in one room and we cooked and eat in the other one. And we had fireplace, what you call a mantel board.
Uh-huh.
You know what that is?
Yes, ma'am.
Mantel board.
Uh-huh.
And
well, I'm not sure I said yes, but I think I said that too quickly. Mantel board, manor board, what is that?
Yeah, that's a shelf up over a fireplace.
Oh, the mantel, of the,
yeah,
over the fireplace.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
And we had wooden beds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is? We call it old antiques now. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yes,
the old wooden type beds.
Yes. We had three of them.
Mm-hmm.
It had foots and had high headboards, a whole lot warmer than the ones we have now.
Yes.
And in the kitchen we had what you call a safe. You know what that is?
That, like the pie safe?
Just a safe.
Just a safe. Okay.
All I can tell you,
yes,
put
ma'am.
Dishes.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where you put dishes and things.
A cupboard with shelves in it.
It was a safe, not a
yes,
cupboard.
Yes, ma'am. It had shelves.
It had shelves in it, but it wasn't a cupboard. You know, a safe had open doors like our china closets
do now. Oh, yes,
ma'am.
Now. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And a cupboard was, you know, covered up. You didn't see anything.
Right. And this was an open safe.
This was an open safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had table, and we sit on a bench in wooden kegs. We didn't have any chairs.
Mm-hmm.
In that two-room house.
Now you told me about the furniture. Did you buy this furniture, or was it made by someone?
Well, now, when I come along, I guess they had that furniture. It was wooden bed. It was fancy wooden bed.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So you think it was probably bought in a furniture store? Rather than...
Well, I can't tell you about
that. You don't
that.
Really know.
No,
oh, okay.
I don't really know about that, but I know that's what it was.
Well, it sounds like very pretty furniture.
It was pretty beds, and they had little designs
Ooh.
On the head of the bed.
Uh-huh.
Things.
Do you have any of that furniture still?
No.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't have any of that.
Uh-huh.
And,
Did
of course, we had a washstand, but it wasn't the furniture. It wasn't the furniture that, you know... That was made that way.
Right.
You got the washstand somewhere else.
But the beds and the safe all sound like such sturdy, nice furniture.
Yeah, it was. It
well
was,
made.
It was well made.
Mm. Did anyone in your family, either of your families, make furniture, Mr. Mickler? Did anyone in your family make any?
Well, now my father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
my first wife's father, he made furniture.
Oh, he did.
And he made baskets, all kind of different baskets.
That's good. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, if anyone made any baskets or
Well, my father-in-law made them. He made them. He could really make them, too. And he made most of all of his furniture. You know, such a chair.
Uh-huh.
Big rocking chair, porch chair, straight chair, table, different things like that. Or he could just make any kind of furniture, most of.
So you see, he was a fine craftsman in your family.
Yes,
then.
Ma'am, he was.
Do you have any of the baskets from that time?
No, ma'am. I did have some of the furniture, but you know, after my wife passed, it just got pushed around, first one to another, you know. And you see, some people, they don't care nothing about antique furniture. They can throw it out and let the trash men haul it off.
That's right. Now people are finding out they should be keeping all this stuff.
Right. Right. You can hardly find antique furniture now because the people that got it, they're not let you have it.
Mm.
They keep it.
How about any old tools or quilts? Do either of you have those in your family that anyone had made?
No, I did have some quilts things, but you know, which one or nothing, they took them and I don't know what they done.
How about you, Ms. Mickler? Any old quilts in the family?
No, I don't have, because I had some. I had some when I moved here, but the rats eat them up.
Were any of the older members of your family known for special talents, such as musicians or singers in either side, either of your families?
No, I don't have.
How about preachers? And, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Mickler.
Well, now, in my wife's family, her kin folks, there were some preachers in her family, in the family that she come out of.
Now, in craftsmen, you told me about your father-in-law. He was a good craftsman. What about needleworkers? Was anyone who made quilts or did a lot of needlework in either?
Well, my mother-in-law, she didn't do too much needlework, but she done a lot of sewing. You know, making things on a sewing machine. Stitching all kind of different dresses, shirts, suits, and God, she could just make more than anything she wanted to.
She sounds as if she was a good seamstress then.
Yes, ma'am. Well, pretty well the whole family. Now, maybe see, I had, you see how many girls was in that family? Maybe there were five girls. And one of the girls, she come to be a top sewer, seamstress. She went to Washington and she got a job making these big neckties for the government. And, she was just a plum expert, so.
And what was the name of your first wife's family again?
Henderson.
These were the Hendersons, and they were really good at needlecraft and making furniture and things.
My daddy-in-law, he'd make most of anything he wanted.
What was his first name?
Jerry Henderson.
And what was his wife's name?
Tecora Henderson.
Tecora Henderson.
Right.
So it sounds as if the Henderson family was very good at doing things.
Yes, ma'am. He'd go to the woods and he'd cut timber. And he'd bring it to the house. And he'd cut out his timber. What he was on, like his army shells or something. He'd cut it out, but he'd stand it up somewhere outside the wall. And let it stand so long, and then he'd go and he'd hew that timber out and he'd work it up, and when he got through with it, it'd be a chair.
Oh my.
Okay. I mean, it'd be a chair too. He made it out of this hickory timber, something that wouldn't break.
Do either of you remember hearing older members of family talking about any hard times or good times or floods or tornadoes or any disasters?
I know some hard times myself.
Yes, sir. But what about anything that they might have said before you were grown? You know, something when you were little or happened to them before you were even born? Did they talk about any floods or tornadoes?
They never did talk too much about. See, back then people, they raised children so fast that They didn't talk way back about this thing, you know, child and that child.
Mm-hmm. And you, in other words, you're saying there wasn't a whole lot of conversation between children and parents to sit around?
No.
Okay, because sometimes in some families they sit and tell stories or
that's right.
Something, but you all didn't do that much of that?
Well, they talk it, but you know, back then, the older people, when they was doing their talking, they had company. The children had to get out of there because the child, he didn't stand around like they do now and sit around the old people like they do now.
Uh-huh.
They didn't lie there. They wouldn't tell you to get out of there. If they had company, they'd look at you and you know what to do.
I see. You got the
hint. You got out of there. Yes, sir. And they'd tell you after the company was gone. They tell you, say, nah, you done something that I didn't like. Well, you'd wait on them to tell you what it was. Well, you know, we'd forget it. And when company come again, you know what to do.
Right. What about illnesses. Do you remember the flu epidemic of 1917 and 1918?
The flu.
The flu epidemic. That was a real bad one right around the time of the First World War, 1917 and 1918. What about you, Ms. Mickler? Do you know of anyone in your family
ma'am.
That got, you do?
Yes, ma'am.
Who got the flu?
I got the flu.
Oh, you had it then?
I had it then. And there was a doctor, and there was a doctor named Dr. Hines of Seneca. He's the one who told them that I had the flu.
Were you sick for a long time?
Yes, I was sick for a long time.
Were other people in your family sick?
No.
Just you?
They didn't. The rest of the children, after that, they come down with what you call whooping cough.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
They come down with whooping cough after that flu. And we had a lot of snow and ice at that time. I remember that. Because we couldn't go outdoors. The snow was so deep that we couldn't go outdoors at that time.
So you remember being inside a lot?
Yes, ma'am. We was inside a whole lot. Inside a whole lot. And then you was talking about if I remembered anything that my older people did. My grandmother on my father's side, she knitted. She knitted stockings and socks. I learned to knit from her. I can knit now. And my auntie on my daddy's side, she was talking about the quilts. I remember that. I remember we stayed down at Fairplay. Down there, what you call a church named Snow Hill now, Colored Church. We lived up on top of the hill from the church. And there was a man named Andrew Johnson. He had three daughters and a wife. And they would come in there and they would make quilts. And they had an outside room that they hung them up, you know, took clothespins and hung them up, that people see the patterns. And white people and colored would come in and buy them. I remember that. I remember that much. And the first quilt that was sold out of that batch, I remember, a doctor named Dr. John Health.
He bought
the first quilt.
My goodness.
That was made out of that batch.
Was Dr. Heller a white man or a white
man? Yes, he was a white doctor. Fairplay.
Now, what was the name of your auntie that made these quilts?
Sally Wright.
And your grandmother, which grandmother was this?
Edie Wright.
And they were the quilters.
That's
and,
right.
And the knitters.
That's right.
That's good. I'm glad you remembered that.
Yes, I when you come around talking that, I think I can tell her a little bit about that. And I was a small little girl, something that these children don't know nothing about now, and they wouldn't wear 'em now if they was to see 'em. They made me rompers.
Oh.
I love them rompers.
Tell me about them.
Oh, and you know, I slipped my legs down in them. They was open up here, you know.
Open up at the top?
You slipped my legs. They held them down like I put on blue jeans. Held them down like that. And I stepped down in them. They pulled up on me. And they tied strings up here on each shoulder. And I had a blue striped pair. And I had a red, what you call, a gingham checks pair.
Oh,
a rompers. I was crazy about them rompers.
And you were little when?
Yes, I was little.
You,
I was little.
You remember how old you just?
No, I can't tell you how old I was because they didn't. But I was old enough to remember things, you know, and look at things when I seen it. I didn't make no to do like Willie said. When company come, they'd catch you by the arm, set you out the door, by the doorstep.
They didn't catch you by the arm. They just look
and,
at you.
You know, and they'd say, don't play, don't go off now, you stay right there. I'd stay right there, and you know there was sand under the leak of the house where the water dripped down, you know.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I'd stay there and play in the sand. when the company left, they'd come reach and get me by the arm, put me back in the house.
Who made the rompers? Do you remember that?
No, I don't know who made them rompers.
Uh-huh.
But I remember wearing
them. You remember getting them?
Yes,
you don't remember
I remember wearing them. And I had an uncle, his name was Dude Wright. And he was the one that always, he always carried me somewhere. And he set me up the back of his neck, and I caught around his head this way.
You put
and
your hands on his
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, put my
yes,
hand on his heart. And everywhere he went, he carried me. I remember one morning in the spring, I don't know what time of the spring it was, whether it was the middle of the spring or the first spring. Portman Dam.
Pardon me?
Portman Dam.
Portman Dam.
Yeah.
Oh.
They was building on Portman Dam.
Oh.
And it just had all kind of big sections and all kind of ditches running. They were making it, you know.
I see.
Just, and I remember him walking me around that dam, and I was sitting up on his shoulders with my hands around his head that way.
Uh-huh.
And he walked all the way around the dam. Wait, now, I can't tell you the name of the creek that it was running down, but anyway, it was the beginning of Portman Dam. I heard them talk about that.
Back when they were first building.
That's when they were first building it.
My goodness.
And he walked me all the way around it, and I remember a white man asking him, say, did you come to fish or you bring the baby to sightsee? And he told him, said, well, I don't fish, but I can look. That's what he said.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you, Ms. Nicola. I love that. Mr. Mickler, do you remember anybody getting sick during the flu epidemic?
Yes, ma'am, myself.
You got sick too?
I had flu and pneumonia.
Oh, my.
And me and my sister, well, there were several of us, you know, had the flu,
uh-huh.
But me and her were the worst too, because we had pneumonia with the flu.
Goodness. Did any members of your family, or did you know anybody who died during the flu epidemic? Either one of you?
Well, I did about, you know, since people dying, because, you know, them flu, they kill a lot of people.
Hmm.
And our doctor was Dr. Joe Striven. He lived here in town. And he back then, you didn't go to the drugstore and buy chest strips and have them filled. The doctors mostly do that themselves. They give you mostly calories. And they'd have cigarette leaves, and they'd have a knife, a small blade of a knife, and they'd run it in that bottle and get what they could get on that knife blade, put it in the cigarette leaf, and then they'd twist it up, and that was a dose.
Mm.
And my sister, when she got ready to take her, he told her, said, now, don't hold it in your mouth. Said, when you put it in your mouth, why, have your drinking water, whatever you not drink, have it right there, and just drink it right on down. Said, if you don't, it'll salivate you if you hold it in your mouth. So I'd take mine, I'd drink mine on down, she'd take her, and she got salivated.
Mm.
Well, it made her mouth sore. And it was a long time before it ever healed up.
Now, when we were talking earlier, I think both of you had members of your family serve in World War I. Your father was in World War I, and he never returned. Is that right? Do you remember where he went? Did he go to France?
Virginia. No, I don't know where he went.
Uh-huh.
In the service.
Yeah, you don't remember where he went in the service
no,
itself.
No.
But he was in the Army, right?
That's right. That's right.
And this was right when we entered the World War I?
Well, they was calling them, you
uh-huh.
know,
They were taking them
yes,
in.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
They was taking them in.
Right, drafting mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And he went, and how long did he serve in the Army, do you know?
No, I can't tell you that. I never did know how long he stayed before he come back and we heard from him again.
You didn't hear from him?
We didn't hear from him right off
uh-huh.
when he got out.
Oh, okay. And then he went to Virginia, you said?
That's right.
And then you never heard from him again?
Oh, yes. We heard
oh, you
from,
did?
Yeah, we heard from him again. He stayed in Virginia for mm-hmm. years. And then he come out of Virginia, and he stopped by to see us, and he went to Atlanta, and he died.
Oh, I see. But he pretty much deserted you and your brothers and
that's
sisters
right.
and your
right.
and your mother. And Mr. Mickler, you... Someone in your family was in the service too, right?
Brother-in-law, my oldest sister's brother.
And did he go to Paris or to France? I somehow
yes,
got the
ma'am.
Idea somebody went to France.
I don't know exactly where it they said he got killed or he died, but anyway, I know it was across the water.
Oh, he did die during the war then.
He died or he got killed. He might have got killed in, you know, fighting or something.
Right.
I don't know how it happened, but anyway, I know he died or some way or another.
Yes, sir. Did that affect your sister-in-law's family life in any way? Or?
Well, no, it didn't. She didn't have any kids. She did this the whole one.
Oh, I see.
And, it didn't seem like it affected her too much. Of course, it did well, rest much, you know.
Right. Okay, and I'd like to go on to religion now. What, we'll start with you, Mrs. Mickler. What church denomination did your family belong to?
Methodist.
And which Methodist church did you belong to here in town?
St. James United Methodist, right up here.
Oh, that's your church then. Do you still belong there?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Has your family always belonged
yes,
to that church?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The whole family, whereas I know,
mm-hmm.
was a Methodist.
What about your family, Mr. Mickler? What church did you belong to?
Baptist.
Which Baptist church?
Well, now, the old forehead, their church was St. Paul Baptist Church. Way down where it's gone 59 going towards Fairplay. It sits down there on that road going to Fairplay. That was an old family church. My mother, my father, sister, brother, my first wife.
Mm-hmm.
That was her church.
Did anyone in either of your families belong to a different denomination? Now, you were Methodist. Did anyone in your family belong to something else? Not that you know of.
Not that I know of.
What about your family? Were they all pretty much Baptist all the way then?
Well, as far as I know.
And who was the minister of your church when you were young, Ms. Mickler, when you were little? Do you remember his name? The minister of St. James. You don't remember, it sounds like.
No.
Uh-huh. Do you remember where he lived or anything like that?
Oh, well, the first minister that I went in the church under, he was a right. He was a one-armed minister.
He was a what kind of minister?
One-armed. He had one arm.
Oh, only had one arm.
He only had one arm. And I was just a little girl. I had to look way up to see him, you know. And that's all I can tell you about that.
And his last name was Wright.
He was a Wright.
Did he have a home near the church? Or did
yes, Parsonage, right at the church. Right, like it is now.
Right, okay. Did you know whether he had any other kind of a job besides being the preacher?
No, I was too little to.
To know that.
Mm-hmm.
You probably didn't know what kind of training mm-hmm. he had to have either, right?
No.
And Mr. Mickler, your minister, do you remember his name? One of your first ones?
One of my, for the first man I heard my mother and them talk about, his name was Bill Parker.
Do you know, did he live near the church?
He lived somewhere in that country, in the neighborhood of that church down there. Well, I think he was kind of the founder of this church.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he was the man that kind of, you know, built this church.
He started it then?
Yeah.
He started it then?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know whether he did anything besides being a preacher?
Well, he had a, he owned a big farm. He farmed.
Uh-huh.
He had a lot of children, for as I know. I didn't, cause I wasn't big enough and old enough to know how many he had, but he, you know, back then, the old people, they had a crowd of children. So. Mm.
Mrs. Mickler, do you remember what other churches were important in your community besides your Methodist church? Were there some other churches here in Seneca that you knew about?
Well, the Ebenezer Baptist in Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
I went there a lot, you know, between our times.
Mm-hmm.
I went down there a lot.
And what about in your community? Were there other churches besides the Baptist church?
My church?
Uh-huh. Was there another kind of church? Say, was there...
Well, no. These other different denominational churches, they mostly had them in towns. They didn't have too many different churches in the country, you mm-hmm. know.
I see. Did both of your churches have cemeteries? Did your Methodist, did St. James have a cemetery?
Yes.
It did. Mm-hmm. Any of your people buried there?
Yes.
And where is the cemetery located? Is it located right at St. James Church?
No. It's located
it's
out.
It's on over next to the cotton mill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oak Grove.
Oak Grove is the St. James mm-hmm. Borough place mm-hmm. in a cemetery. Did your church have a cemetery with it, Mr. Mickler?
Yes, ma'am.
And was it right there?
Yes, ma'am.
And was some of your family buried
well,
there, too?
Well, all of my older people, you know, my father was buried at St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
My mother was buried at St. Paul. My wife is buried at St. Paul.
Wow.
And
your
my
son
buried at St. Paul. And I got, well, it is a, well, all of them, pretty well all of them, reading the older ones,
uh-huh.
is buried at St. Paul.
Do you remember camp meetings when you were young, Mr. Mickler?
Yes, ma'am.
And
used to go to them.
You did? You did attend then? Where were they held?
Bethel Grove.
And
Bethel Grove.
In Bethel Grove.
Yeah.
What time of year were they held?
September.
It's September, the second Sunday in September, they'd be at Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first Sunday in October, they'd be at Pelham. The fourth Sunday in October, they'd be at Central. They had three places that they had camp meetings.
And how would they be overnight? How long did these camp meetings last? Would
well,
it just be the
start Friday and go over Sunday.
I see. And did people spend overnight then? Did they
yes,
stay
ma'am.
Overnight?
Some did.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Did you attend these camp meetings also?
Yeah.
Oh, you went too. Okay. Do you remember, either of you remember who led the services?
Well, now, I can't remember, you know, who it was. But there was one man, well, he didn't have to do the service. He done the singing. He'd sing.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did know the pastor, you know, during the service. Because they come from different places. See, most of them pastors, the Methodists, would come from the low part of the state.
Uh-huh.
And I never did know too many of them.
How about you, Ms. Mickler? Do you remember very much about the meeting?
No, I just went.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, stayed for one session or some.
Uh-huh. You didn't say...
And I didn't know the pastor because they come in.
Mm-hmm. Did they do anything special at the camp meetings beside the services? Did any other activity
yes, ma'am.
Take place?
They sold food. And, well, they done a lot of different things, you know. See, they have a big setting. Most of these people, had these big ice cream parlors and things. They carried truckloads down. Well, they do a whole lot of selling. They'd allow them to sell for Anderson, Seneca. They had a good time there at Teach County.
It sounds like it. Do you remember any of your older relatives talking about camp meetings and what they did when they were young?
Yes, and listen, now, I can't tell you what it was all about, but they always brought a briefcase of papers, and they read out about other churches. You know what I'm talking about? And other things that went on, you know, at these camp meetings.
Sort of a schedule of events?
Yes, right. That's right. And they would tell how much money was raised such and such a places and things like that. I heard them do that.
Sounds like they reports. They
that's
were making
right.
reports.
Yeah. Yes, they were making reports.
Oh, that's the first time I've heard that.
Well, they did. They did do that.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to imply I didn't believe you. What I meant was that other people haven't given me that information. That's interesting made reports.
Well, they did. They made reports. I know that because now I was grown. Of course, I wasn't married the first time when I used to go to them all the time. And they would take a half hour brief and they would read all this.
Mm.
They like I said, the man had a briefcase. He had a briefcase. And, you know, he'd get up to the stand and he'd read.